Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Waters of the Spirit. And we were looking at a passage found in 2 Kings, the third chapter, basically the first 20 verses, which recounts an episode in the life of the people of God during the reign of King Jehoram, who was the son of Ahab, Jehoshaphat, as well as the unnamed king of Edom. And they were going together in a confederacy to fight against the king of Moab, who had rebelled against the king of Israel. But they had a very serious problem after about 7 days, and they had no water for the army, for the troops, and none for the cattle that followed them. And of course, in that day and age, that was a very serious consideration, because unless God undertook, they would be incapable for fighting. And also, I mean, it's a matter of life and death. The cattle could die. When you're dealing with desert wilderness places, obviously, water is not just a luxury, it is an actual lifeline. And so we see in verse 10, and I'm going to read that for you. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together." He was referring to Israel and Judah, as well as Edom. "That he has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." And here we can see sometimes a response that someone who's following Christ can get into. When they are faced with a serious problem, a real challenge to their faith, they rather throw up their hands and say, Jehoram did, "Alas, look what we get for following the Lord. We have got a major problem, and it looks like all three kings as well as their troops are going to be defeated." And you know, the king of Israel said "alas," and that word, we don't use that, of course, much today. It's a small word, but it carries with it a sense of concern, but also of fear and pity. "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Does that have a familiar ring? The king of Israel was like a lot of Christians today. The first time they get into trouble that they can't get out of themselves, they blame God. And yet, in the first verses that we read, in verse 7, it says that King Jehoram called the three things together, the three kings together, not the Lord. And we have to be very careful when we are presenting the gospel, because Jesus is the source of eternal life. He gives joy, love, and peace. But we do evangelism, if you will, a disservice if we present the gospel to unbelievers, to those who need salvation, and just present Jesus as a life coach or a life enhancement alternative. And as a result, you know, you just, you know, invite Jesus into your heart and your whole life's going to be turned around. You'll have joy and love and peace and all these wonderful blessings, which are in fact part of the salvation experience. But also, we have to understand that the gift of salvation redeems and preserves us from the wrath to come. We serve a holy God, and a time is coming when God is going to pour out his wrath, his judgments upon not only the earth, but those who are unrepentant, those who have hardened their hearts, stiffened their necks, and want nothing to do with God. God is going to deal with the wickedness and iniquity that is in the earth. And so, each one of us, because we have sinned, Adam and Eve, our first parents sinned, that we are worthy of death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so we deserve the wrath of God. However, in God's great love and mercy, he provided Jesus to be our perfect substitute. And as a result, we have been spared and saved from the wrath to come. However, there will be trials and testings. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. So as we read the apostles, you know, don't be surprised as if some strange thing has happened to you, because, beloved, that's a part of the Christian life. And I don't know about you, you know, when you're, at least when I was in the walking in the world, I didn't have peace. I was looking for answers, but I wasn't troubled that much. Why? Because the devil has you. But once you declare your decision to be part of God's family, that's when the enemy really raises up and causes problems and causes so many difficulties that you just want to throw up your hands if you're not truly grounded in the Word of God and just walk away because of the battles. And so what we see, Jehoram, he's basically blaming God, and yet he was the one that planned this whole military campaign. But what happens next? The very next verse, verse 11, we see the godly king Jehoshaphat ask, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of him?" And one of the king's servants said, "Here is Elisha," who, of course, was the disciple of Elijah, who walked with God, who had powerful miracles in his life, and was taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot. So, in order for us to really glean and add life to the scriptures, we have to use our imagination. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to put ourselves in this picture, if you will. And here are three qualified kings, if you will, as far as militarily, wringing their hands in despair, and they are begging favor from a man who used to plow the fields. That was Elisha's calling before Elisha threw his mantle over him. And if they weren't desperate men, they would never have paid attention to Elisha. If the water had been plentiful, they would have acted quite independently of either God or Elisha. And isn't that true in our case? So often, we have, or we see loved ones that try to solve the problems on our own, and only when things get really, really, really desperate. Look at the example of the prodigal son. I mean, he was living high. He had his father's inheritance, and he lived what the scriptures call riotous living. He, you know, did whatever he wanted to do, but finally, when the money ran out, he realized that his father's servants were better off than he was. He couldn't even get to eat the husks that the pigs were eating, and he recognized his true condition. And so we have to understand that sometimes God will use difficult circumstances to bring us to a knowledge of him. I know my own life, I mean, I had tried so many different paths, seeking truth and understanding and reality, that it wasn't until I found Jesus that I knew that I knew that I knew my search had ended. Praise God. But that doesn't mean our life, Christian life, is without battles. But praise God, Jesus has provided the victory. Yes, we'll have battles. We are in spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Make no mistake, we are in warfare, but God has decreed victory for us. Jesus has done all that was ever needed to be done to give us the kind of victory, so the apostle can tell us, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are overcomers. However, in order to experience that overcoming life, to experience the victories God has provided, we have to do things God's way. We have to follow the statutes of the word of the Lord, how we can achieve victory. And it's not certainly by our own efforts, but it's by obedience. And so, obviously, they were in a situation where they had to call out to God, maybe in your own life, maybe in the lives of loved ones. I know I've prayed sometimes, Lord, whatever it takes, spare their life, but get them back on the road to the Lord. And sometimes it takes desperate situations. They were in a desperate situation. But to Jehoshaphat's credit, he realized and recognized Elisha was a man of God. He said in verse 12, the word of the Lord is with him. And then in verse 13, we find Elisha reminding the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? And it stirred. Can you imagine? Here was this prophet of the Lord who was ministering. The school of the prophets was being raised up. It stirred the heart of this man of God to see the king of Israel standing there in his hypocrisy, serving other gods in the day of his prosperity. And now, when he needs help, now he's seeking the help of God, the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. And their armies were in danger of perishing because the wells of water had run dry. And praise God, it's a wonderful thing to read about God's servants in the Bible, because they were busy doing the work of the Lord, and they refused to compromise. So let's bring, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we're going to pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to join me, but as I always do, I want to invite you, if you have prayer needs, please feel free to share them. I personally pray for the individual needs that come in. I personally answer the mail. No one else answers the mail, and it's been a sacred trust and privilege all these many decades before the Lord to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. So the announcer will give our contact information. Take that bit of time by email, by letter, and allow me the privilege of praying for you. Or let me know you're being blessed by the broadcast. It's always a blessing to hear from new brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.